Now, a few days ago, the science world was shocked by the claim that a Chinese scientist had edited the genes of twin girls and vaccinated them from HIV before they were even born. Rather than cries of joy, the experiment has been met with anger and skepticism from the science community, who are concerned about the ethics of editing a human being's genes before they are born. To discuss the use of gene editing technology, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Dimitri Perrin, Senior Lecturer in Science and Group Leader of Biomedical Data Science Research Group at the University of Queensland. Dimitri, thanks for your time.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So what was your immediate reaction to hearing this news earlier in the week?
Well, I guess the first reaction was shock, because, CRISPR, the technique has been around for a while and with some exciting preliminary results, but everybody in the community felt like editing humans might be something that might happen a few years down the line, but everybody felt like it was just too soon, and especially for this specific study, which has very little benefits to the twins involved.
Yeah, and the scientists use a piece of technology called CRISPR-Cas9, I believe,
yes,
to edit the genes of the two girls. How does this work, and what can it actually do?
So basically, when people talk about CRISPR, there are two main parts. So there's a protein called Cas9, which you can think of as a pair of scissors that are going to cut somewhere in the genome. And then the second piece is what we call the guide sequence that tells Cas9 where to cut in the genome. And so the idea is to, if you want to target a specific gene, you provide a guide that will instruct Cas9 to cut at that gene so that you can modify it. But it's not... there are sort of two main limitations with the technology. It's much better than previous technologies, but it's still not perfect yet. So there are times where the cut doesn't actually occur. So that means that if you're trying to modify an embryo, you might end up with some cells that have the modification you're trying to make and some cells that don't have the modification. So that's what we call a mosaic phenomenon, and that's what seems to have happened with the twins in that experiment. The other limitation is that sometimes the cut doesn't happen where we want. So the guide that we provide is not like an address. Like if we were to meet up somewhere, I give you the address and you find the location. It's more as if we were trying to meet somewhere and I just give you a picture of the building where we're supposed to meet. If we're supposed to meet at the Opera House, it's easy, you'll recognize it and you'll find the right place. But if I give you the picture of a random house somewhere in a suburb, you might go to a house that looks the same, but is actually different. And the guide works the same way. We provide a sequence, and it's going to bind somewhere in the genome that either is a perfect match, but sometimes a partial match to a sequence that we provide, which means that there might be what we call off-target effects, which is a cut at a different position. And it's there's ongoing research trying to minimize that risk, but it's a fairly dangerous risk because if you don't predict correctly the off targets, you might have unintended consequences. That's why one of the reasons why people felt it was probably too soon to try the technique in human embryos because of that risk.
Right, yeah, it does sound all a bit abstract, especially when you describe pictures of suburban homes and being able to locate it that way instead of, a GPS or so. So it's a little bit, we're still learning about it then. This news can sound worrying when we start to think about it in connection to eugenics and World War II. Could this technology actually be used for good, though? Do you have hopes for it and how it'll be appropriately used in the future?
Well, yeah, there are many applications where it would be a good technology. So it's used, for instance, in plants, there's a lower risk because we're not talking human modifications, but there's still benefits in terms of working on crops to make them more resistant to specific diseases or to drought or making plants more nutritious. In the human context, there are already some studies looking at basically fixing... curing specific diseases that are caused by just one specific gene. So, for instance, there's a disease called sickle cell anemia, which is caused by just one gene. And so the idea would be to just use CRISPR to fix that gene and cure the patient. the main difference is that in that context, only it's someone who's already born, and we make the modification just for that person. What's different in that study is that they modified the embryo, which means that the modifications that they've made impact the twins that are born, but also their children, grandchildren, and so on. So it's a much more drastic modification.
Mm. And so the scientist in question conducted the experiment without the approval of his university or government. Do you worry about how individuals may use this technology without supervision or regulation?
Yeah, I mean, initially the reaction was, well, how can the university approve such a study? And now it turns out that they didn't actually approve it, which in a way is even more worrying, especially now that the scientists reveal that there's actually probably a second pregnancy actually ongoing with another embryo that has been modified. And I think what's really important is to have a tighter regulation and a global consensus about what are the modifications that we think are reasonable and which ones are the ones that should be avoided. Because, as I said, there are definitely contexts where it is a useful technology, and so it does make sense to just say, oh, that technology is bad, we should never use it. But we need to understand when it is a good use and when it's not. So it's a benefit-risk analysis. And at the moment, the risk is probably too high to use it in humans.
Yeah, and do you think other countries will begin to use this technology in an effort to be the first, though? Because it seems to be a competitive environment at the moment, without taking into consideration the morality behind it.
Yeah, I mean, that is a concern. I mean, most of the reactions so far seem to really strongly condemn that study, so there's still hope that there will be it won't turn into a race to try to be the first to do this modification, that modification, and so on. And in many countries, that the study that was conducted wouldn't be possible. In Australia, for instance, it would be illegal to run the study that was performed by that researcher.
Right, right. Well, Dimitri, thank you so much for your time today. It's very insightful, and it'll be an interesting area to watch.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.
That was Dr. Dimitri Perrin, a senior lecturer in science and group leader of Biomedical Data Science Research Group at the University of Queensland, speaking to us about the case of gene-edited twins born in China, which was making news earlier this week, a point of contention in the science community and the general broader community as well. So definitely an interesting area to watch there.